You're listening to OWA Talks, a podcast from the Optical Women's Association. I'm Tatiana Stewart, joined by my co-host, Carissa Dunphy. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Brianna Rue, practice owner and doctor at West Broward Eye Care Associates and co-founder and CEO of Dr. Contact Lens. Hi, Dr. Rue. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
So let's get started. Let's talk a little bit more about yourself and your background. How did you kind of get involved in optical?
Yeah, so I have kind of an interesting path. I mean, it doesn't start really oddly, you know, being a young myope, as most of us are in optometry school, is what we find out, is most of us need glasses. But my path was a little different. I had my dad, being a daughter of two furniture builders, they taught me, you know, work ethic, that using your hands versus using your brain. And so I kind of saw that through my dad's career. He had two of his best golfing buddies were optometrists. And so kind of grew up being a patient, into being front desk, into teching, into billing, learning the optician side, then off to optometry school. So just had incredible mentors in this space. So I knew exactly what I was getting into and what kind of practice I wanted to get into. Graduated from Nova 2009, did a residency, joined a private practice here in South Florida, met a boy along the way, which kept me in South Florida, and then bought into that private practice, now in full owner of that private practice, and started also a technology company, which I'm excited to get into here, Dr. Contact Lens. So I've now made a shift from still seeing patients, but also the industry and seeing just how special optometry is and what we do with our patients. And I've got two little ones, a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. And yeah, that's me.
That's a great summary. You met a boy and you kept the boy, and then you got little minis out of that.
And I'm a boy mom, which is awesome.
Oh, that's great. I'm a boy mom too, and I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. Tell us a fun fact about your personal and professional life.
So I was a cheerleader, gymnast my whole life. Whenever I looked out, like I have a long hallway in my office here, all I ever want to do is like cartwheel down this office. So still love standing on my hands and just really reading business books and being mindful and bringing mindfulness to people around me is something I love to do.
So what about OWA? Tell us a little bit. When did you join? What's your experience been like? And any, you know, of your favorite memories you might have?
As an optometrist, it's very optical driven. So I found out about OWA about 2 or 3 years ago at Vision Expo. And then really dove in that way in saying, how can I be more of a leader in this role, still being a private practicing optometrist, and bring my experience there, but also bring the industry closer together, because it takes all of us, our industry reps, our industry partners, our opticians, our front desk, you as the doctor, all the way down to obviously your patients. So I love how OWA encompasses all of that and how more ODs are getting involved with OWA. So them also expanding that with Lori, and have great mentors in there as well.
So driving now more into your amazing career at Dr. Contact Lens, we know that Dr. Contact Lens was ranked number 41 on the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing companies in the country, which is like, wow, what an honor to be featured on such, you know, a prominent list. Can you tell us more about how you founded that company?
Yeah, so this was a really exciting moment. I had this on our radar for a little bit because, again, reading a lot of business books and seeing what was out there, this had been on my radar. And then in co-founding Dr. Contact Lens, really my partner and best friend Jen and I, having two private practices, we saw a need, we saw a hole. And we said, well, this can't be this hard to build this. Well, it's been really freaking hard to build this, especially as two women in a very male-dominated industry. it was exciting because we got to break down a lot of doors. Also being optometrists, I think that we had a lot, oh, well, they're just optometrists kind of mentality, which was kind of cool that we got to overcome that as well. But we really came to the heart of it was when patients would come in, they say this is the best eye exam they've ever had, yet we weren't able to do business with them the way they wanted to do business with our practices. And so we said, well, we've got to create this. We made our offices have electronic medical records. Then you needed a website. Then you needed Facebook. So we've seen this progression since we graduated school very early on. And this was just a natural step into really building technology that helps support the doctor-patient relationship. And so that's what stayed front and center within Dr. Contact Lens. And then when we got to the Inc. 5000, they do a big gala, which was really, really fun because you're surrounded by all of these entrepreneurs who know just how hard it is to get a company from zero to this hyper growth of growing like we did. And we just got to celebrate all of our little wins, which reminds me that we don't do that enough. As business owners or entrepreneurs, or even just as human beings, we just don't give ourselves enough credit. And seeing ourselves up on that stage, but really knowing it was everybody around us that we were celebrating, right? It was all of the doctors that said yes. It was all the people that said no. It was all the people that got behind us and those ones that also didn't. So it was really cool for our team to know that we made a really big difference and that patients are loving it, and when patients are driving it, the doctors are there to pick up that success. So that's how we co-founded it.
That's an amazing accomplishment that very few people have had in their lives. So I'll say it again because you need to hear it again. Congratulations to you and your company. That is incredible. As with any small business, there are hurdles in scaling. What are some of the bigger hurdles that you faced and how'd you overcome them?
I think too, we put ourselves in these boxes. So some of our success has been, I don't like the word small business. I think it's very confining. And I think it's an entity that, or it's a word that comes from corporations trying to keep people in their buckets. Like, don't come over here. It's too hard. You don't want to play. So even taking for my practice, taking the word small out of it, because it really confines you. It confines you mentally, it confines you with your space, and it confines you with your reach. We don't have to have those confinements anymore. So some of the major hurdles that we've faced in scaling Dr. Contact Lens is getting the doctors to say yes, but wanting to pay for a service, right? We have been taught that everything should be free to us, and that's not true. There's nothing free in this world. And you're paying for it in some way or another that's going to come back and bite you. So it's also the change factor. Nobody likes to change, including your staff, including me sometimes. But that's a major driver in what we get to do every day. We get to take care of people's vision and we have to keep innovating there. It doesn't stop, it's not going to stop. Just like our lives don't stop. So our major hurdles has been getting people to see their value, getting the doctors to see their value, getting them to understand some of their numbers. Like we have this silent practice killer, which is patients walking out the door and your staff not giving you the appropriate feedback, but the staff not feeling like there's a feedback loop to disappoint the doctor. So there's this big disconnect between what we know is happening in the exam room, when the patient gets to the front, what's happening there, and not having it's an okay mentality if they walk, but how can we get better? So that's been the challenges that we've gotten to face. And I always use the word get or got, not have to, because again, it's just a growth mindset that we have.
It's like that feedback loop is almost like the analytics piece, right? Like we can't prevent every person from walking out the door, but what can we learn from each opportunity and how can we grow? I think that's such an important mindset. So you mentioned a little bit earlier about being in a male-dominated industry. And I want to dig into that a little bit more because as most of us in the optical industry have heard, the female representation in optical is really growing, right? There's more and more women in schools of optometry, and the face of the optical industry is changing, I think, for the better. So that's wonderful. But that might not always be the case in tech. It still can kind of be a pretty heavily male-dominated industry. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that and what's been your experience as you've gone from optometrist to optometrist and tech entrepreneur?
We kind of all throw the term around like mansplaining. Like I have to like woman-splain a lot that I belong at this table. So the words that I have to throw out and it just in the first 30 seconds of a conversation. Like I'll give you one funny story. I was at Vision Expo East and I was 3 months after having my baby and I was pumping. I literally was pumping, having a conversation with a very high up person, and he had no idea what was going on. And I was like, if I can do this, look you straight in the face and have this conversation, we are superwoman, we are superpowers. And I think that when we combine this, it's only magic can happen from doing that. But as the other side of it too is, what does success look like to you as a female, right? It's not that I want to be have more of those male components or whatever it is, right? In business, we all bring a crazy amount of innovation together. So it's not that I should get this position because I'm a woman or get this position because I'm a man or vice versa or whatever it is. It's just hearing one another and acknowledging it. Like even at the Inc. 5000, there were a couple entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs that got up on the stage. And we tend to minimize our success a lot and give credit to a male that came up behind us. And that's never what happened within Dr. Contact Lens. We stayed really true to why we were founded and why we were put on this earth to really get this out there also as females. And we were talking to a male counterpart we were originally going to maybe bring on. And he goes, Brianna, he goes, do you ever, just go in the morning and write down, the three things that you need to do that day? I literally just spit out my
Three.
coffee and I was like, hold on. I get to only write three things down. Like, I have to make a doctor's appointment. I have to make sure my husband's happy. I have to make sure there's food or like my other business or this. And I was like, what I don't need is a list. What I need is a freaking wife, right? To like manage me, which I fortunately have gotten now. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but an amazing executive assistant. Like, we all need to ask for help more, and both male and females. And we can just accomplish so much more if we put that aside.
One of the most important things that I heard in that was to not minimize yourself, which women tend to do. Are there any other major bits of advice that you can give to a female leader in an industry that's still pretty dominated by males?
Just know that you belong there. There was a moment not too long ago where I was sitting there, again, as an OD, where we're very underrepresented within organizations. So it was there were 50 pretty high executives there at one of the conferences I was invited to. And I was like, man, I'm like, I am here with all these big dogs. And I was like, no, like, you are a big dog. Like, you get to be here. Like, you're here, you're doing it. And so, again, I think doubling down on minimization, like you're doing these things because you were invited to the table, and you just have to, be heard and also listen along the way.
We understand you have an interesting insights on the patient-doctor relationship. Can you share more on that and elaborate a bit?
Yeah, the doctor-patient relationship is why we all really go to become doctors and caretakers, right? As physicians. But what we don't realize is the patient also has to take care of us. So it's really this life cycle of business. Me as the optometrist or business owner, I have to take care of my staff, knowing my staff is going to take care of the patient, and then the patient takes care of me. And so when we poke holes in this relationship or we lose trust along the way, so this is what's happening when a patient gets up to the front and they're asking for a copy of their prescription, something happened, something broke down in that relationship, and we're not meeting the patient where they want to be met, nor are we seeing ourselves in that position. I see it so many times, staff members walk through the door, or me walk through the door, where I forget that I want everything delivered from Amazon. I want an easy button for everything. So what happens when I walk through that door? Why do I forget that? And the patient relationship, the doctor-patient relationship, I think when we put that front and center and really build solutions and build processes and build experience around that, it only wins. And when you start cutting that out, everybody loses. Your staff loses, the patient loses, you lose as why you went to school through all these years into all this debt. The industry loses, partners lose. And we have to just keep that in mind. And I think that that's really being cut out as technology takes shape. And that's what we wanted to curate at Dr. Contact Lens. That's part of our core values.
I love going to see my eye doctor. It is a very special relationship, right? It's one of my few healthcare appointments that I get annually. So shifting now to some of the tech pieces, right? As the optical industry continues to evolve and innovate, I know that you're really passionate about new technology and new areas of care, especially as it relates to myopia management. So, are there any advances that you're tracking? Like, what's on the horizon right now in terms of medical care and technology that you're really enthusiastic or curious about?
The myopia management one rings near and dear to my heart, ending up as a minus six myself, marrying my husband, who's a minus 650, and then having two babies, right? So what can we do as far as preventative medicine? But really, the eye is your brain. We forget that. Your eye is an extension of your brain. So everything that's happening in your eye, from diabetes to hypertension to Alzheimer's to who knows what AI is going to enable us to do. But we have to just continue to curate that where people can get the advice. And that's what is so special about optometry is we do get to take that time with our patients to be that primary care physician and really look at somebody in their eyes. And I feel like some of my colleagues, and I've been known to do this too, we forget when they put their face in that slit lamp that it is connected to a whole body, right? But so many of us have caught tumors by watching how a patient's walking. Caught early Alzheimer's by looking at a person's hand changing or Parkinson's, right? Or just the deterioration. So being ahead of that, I think that's what we're going to really see is we're going to be a huge part of just healthcare because so much is coming out through our vision. And really on the kiddo side is, pediatricians, right? They all talk about the dentist. Not a single one of them talks about vision. If they do, then it's very rare to find that. So more education opportunities surrounding, birth too. I just had a 97-year-old patient the other day that still puts his contacts in, right? So we get to see generations of vision. What are my colleagues behind me, generations, going to be seeing that we started? And then the advice that they're going to be able to give or not have to give because we found it early. So more of a broader approach in medicine.
I love your advocacy for the industry. You are at heart a true OD, and you can tell that you love what you do so much. And the medicine is what makes it all worth it. And the fixing of or slowing the progression of myopia at a young age. So maybe your kid isn't a minus 650. It's just the care that you can give means so much. And I've seen it in clinic, and you're just speaking it and you're bleeding it, and I love it.
Your accolades and recognition don't stop there. Modern Optometry named you as one to watch in 2023, which congratulations, what an honor, right? But tell us, who are you watching? Are there any people in your career who you've seen as a role model, or women or men that you've had as mentors, either in optical or tech in the business world? Who's one to watch if you had to pick your list?
Yeah, there's actually a lot. I've kind of moved over to the LinkedIn world a little bit more. That was a shift I made about a year ago. It's really kind of helped me too, because I think we get into this comparison of what success is. And if I don't have that, then I'm not doing anything. I was even getting into that rut too. I get a lot of mentorship from books. Like my one of my most favorite ones is How or Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. Another one is The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan. I look a lot outside of industry for mentorship, but also inside mentorship, like Scott Morris, Dr. Tata, like my optometrist growing up, my friends around me, my colleagues around me on the support systems that I've built. So it's been all of it too. It's been a fun ride, just putting myself out there in different roles, you know, going from trustee to president of our local society. I got to meet all the people that are moving and shaking, and they're like, well, now you need to go to like the big society. I was like, call me when like my kid graduates high school. So it's, you know, it's learning also to say yes to things and say no to things, and just have your compass of really what success looks like to you. I think that's what I'm kind of coming into, because we can all that can all look very different for everyone, and you don't have to apologize for it.
All right, so let's get real. We learned that you're a wife, a mom, a business owner, hold on, an entrepreneur, an eye doctor. You're one to watch as a female tech leader. I probably can't name everything. So tell us how on earth you balance things, everything that we mentioned, and all the extra
Yeah.
stuff we didn't mention.
I found yoga in like 2010, 2011, and it was really interesting. The studio that I found, it was on Groupon when Groupon was like a thing, and it was actually the original studio of Orange Theory Fitness. And I remember in like 2011, you know, like sprinting my heart out on a treadmill at like 11, 12 miles an hour, and being like, oh my God, you guys, I found this amazing workout. You need to come. They're like, well, you do what? Like, that's crazy. And then she brought in yoga to her studio, and I had some really good instructors that just helped me shift my mind to off, which we don't do a lot of. And so that's really my gift, is being able to kind of shut it all down. Did I do my best that day? Some days the answer is yes. Some days it's no. Just feeling overwhelmed. I have all of those too. But it's really building the team around you. One of the books that I've mentioned on a lot of these is really Buy Back Your Time. You have to have that team and that support team around you, and trust. Like, not, I'm on a lot of these conversations, and people are like, well, I couldn't trust anybody to do that. Well, you're not trusting yourself fully to trust somebody else. So you have to internally work on the trust. And I know that, yeah, I've made really expensive mistakes along the way. Looking back on it, it all got me here, right? So just again, trusting that you're doing the work, doing the right things, taking care of you first, finding that outlet, because it can't all go on your family when you're stressed out like this. You know, I've made that mistake too. And being fully present there, like when I'm with my kids. That's my job right then and there, right? If you have to align it differently, right? Or like I'm sitting there on the couch with my husband, that's what I get to do at that moment. So that relationship too has struggled along the way, you know, building two companies. But yeah, that's something that is near and dear to my heart, that we've, you know, we got to work on. So it's just working on those relationships and the ebb and flow that happens. And I think balance is a word that we overuse. There's no freaking balance anywhere. Like, I am on, I'm go. Like, if you can tell from this call, like, that's just me, you know? And that's the question too. I do sleep, you know, 7, 8 hours a night. But I think too, you know, just breathing through things and surrounding yourself with great people. You've got to ask for help, and you have to trust. And put some, you know, barriers and guardrails in place with that too, to make it all happen.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today and for that thoughtful advice. Certainly, you are one to watch, and we will keep following all the great things that you're doing. Before we wind down for the day, we are going to move into our very fun lightning round. So these are designed to just be quick hits, fun questions that we ask every guest and that our listeners can look forward to at the end of each episode. So, are you ready to play?
I am ready to play.
Awesome. Okay, coffee or tea? This one's very controversial.
It depends. Coffee in the morning, tea throughout the day.
Dogs or cats?
Cats, because my husband came with a cat.
What is the next place you'd like to go on vacation?
Iceland.
What was your very first job?
Working in my dad's shop and putting shelf pins in his bookcases.
I'll transition to the book question. What was the last book you read or your favorite book?
The Gap in the Game.
Great segue, Carissa, by the way, from bookshelves to book question. Okay, this is my favorite one. What are your favorite pair of frames you're wearing right now this season? What makes you excited to put them on?
I love the new Carolina Herrera line. It's very classic, and she does a lot of things with like pearls and sparkles and really nice shapes.
What is your favorite quote?
My favorite quote is, "You can wake up every day and build somebody else's dreams, or you can wake up every day and build your own."
I love that. How about your superpower?
My superpower, I think we touched on this earlier, is like being able to just shut it all down.
That's a hard one, but important. What is one last piece of advice you'd like to share with our listeners?
Be clear on defining what success is to you, and don't, like, your haters are going to be out there, but just keep putting one foot in front of the other and then celebrating your wins along the way. We do not do that enough.
Wonderful. And where can people find you to connect?
People can find me on LinkedIn, or my email, which my wonderful executive assistant will answer, which is BRHUE at drcontactlens.com or at most of the conferences.
Great. Thank you for everything. Thank you for being such a fantastic guest, Dr. Rue. Thank you all for listening to OWA Talks. Please be sure to subscribe and share. You can listen to all episodes and read all the show notes at opticalwomen.com.
Thank you.